On Daf Nun Beis Amud Aleph, that's where we got to. Again, we're still looking over the Tosfos Nun Aleph Amud Beis, and Blinetta will get back to that soon. But first, in the Gemara itself, we're up to Rav Papa Omar, which would be smack in the middle of the Amud, a little bit above Tosfos Dibur Maschil Limeid. Omar Rav Papa Dekuli Alma. In other words, both Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva agree that Shirayim ain't ma'afin. So the carbon is kosher even in the absence of Shvicha Shirayim al Yisod. The Hacha, but the Braisa that records a machlokas between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Akiva, b'mitzui chata sa'of kamiflagi, ma'akiv kamiflagi. The issue at stake here is mitzui chata sa'of. We've discussed in the past that chata sa'of requires malika, and then Kabbalah Saddam, then Hazoah Saddam, then Mitzui Hadam, until you find finally have the Haktorah Al Gabi Mizbech. So the question is, would the Hazoah be enough, even in the absence of Mitzui? Mar Sover, according to Rabbi Yishmael, Ma'akev, Mitzui is critical, it's a requirement. And without Mitzui, the carbon is possible. And that's what Rabbi Yishmael meant when he said that the Shirayim are not ma'akvim. He used the word Shirayim in the Braisa, but he really meant Mitzui. Mitzui is kind of like Shirayim, because keep in mind, he's already done the Hazah, so what's left afterwards in the Tzavar Ha'of is the Dam of Mitzui, that he calls Shirayim, and it's not ma'akiv. So it means that in Chatas Ha'of, if you skip over Mitzui, then the carbon is kosher. That's according to Rabbi Shmuel. Mar Sover, Rabbi Akiva holds Mitzui is... No, I'm sorry. So one second. That was... So what did I just say? I said that Rabbi Shmuel holds that Mitzui is not ma'akiv. Is that what I said? If I said that, then I made a mistake. What I meant to say was Mar Sover, according to Rabbi Shmuel, Mitzui is ma'akiv. And the carbon is... That's what I meant to say. The carbon is possible without Mitzui. So then I think what he means is that when Rabbi Shmuel said that Shirayim is not Ma'akiv, he meant Shirayim as opposed to Mitzui, in contrast to Mitzui. So Mitzui is Ma'akiv. Marasov Rabbi Kiva holds, in the case of Chatasov, Mitzui lo Ma'akiv. And that's why he added to Rabbi Shmuel and said, Einom Boim Lekapora. Einom Boim Lekapora means that he doesn't need the mitzui in order to achieve the kapara, and the dam chatos is the hazos dam chatos is enough to achieve the kapara. Now here I have a footnote, number tes vav in the mesifta. It's a very small one. You can take a look at it. I think you have it, right? Great. So tes vav, it's the top one in the left corner. And he writes that Rav Papa explains Rabbi Akiva that when Rabbi Akiva says Ein Mechaperim V'Ein Boim Lechaper, he meant to say that A, Shirayim aren't Ma'akvim, that's what he calls Ein Mechaperim. And then he adds V'Ein Boim Lechaper, which means that there's no Shirayim that comes for Kapor, that's critical for Kapor. And that Tosefes is a reference to Mitzui Chatos Ha'of. So Rabbi Shmuel on the one hand only said Ein Ma'akvim, Ein Ma'chaprim, and that's all he said, because he was telling us that Shvicha Shirayim is not Ma'akiv, but in contrast Mitzui would be Ma'akiv. Rabbi Akiva added another phrase here, and he says, Eino boim lechaper. What he meant to add here was Mitzui chatasov. So the kapar is clinched already with the hazah, even before the Mitzui. Okay, that he says he got from the Chazon Ish. Tani kavasi the Rav Papa. We're going to now quote a brisa to prove Rav Papa's his premise that even Rabbi Shmuel agrees that Shirayim are not ma'akvim. So the Braisa darshins the Torah, the parasha of Par Kohen Moshiach, which means that the Kohen Gadol violated a very severe Avera B'Shogeg, and he has to bring a special Par, Lechatos. And there in Vayikra Dal, the pasuk says, "Veskol dam hapar yishpoch el yisod mizbach ha'ola." Matam lomar hapar. The word hapar here can be dropped at no loss to the pshat. It could just have said, "Veskol da adam yishpoch." Why the extra word hapar? Li made hakos. So the Torah is coming to teach you al par yom kippurim. Shuton matan domim la yisod divrei Rebbe. Rebbe learns that the extra word hapar in this pasuk is teaching us something about par yom kippurim. That just like in the case of par kohen Mashiach, which requires shvicha shirayim, so too the par of yom kippurim requires shvichas shirayim. Rabbi Shmuel says that there's no need to derive Shvicha Shiraim as a requirement in Par Yom HaKippurim. We could derive it from a pasuk, from a Kal V'Chomer. And what's that Kal V'Chomer? Ma'im Mishe'en Nichnas Doma Lifnim Chova. Now the word Lifnim here means inside the Heichal. And what is he referring to here in Yishmael when he says Mishe'en Chova Lahachnis Dov Bibifnim, and he's referring to Par Kohen Mashiach. Par Kohen Mashiach has no chova. What does that mean? He has no chova. Of course, he has a chova. If he violated Bishogeg and Iser Kares, then he has to bring a par. But what it means is that there's no absolute chiyuv. It's conditional chiyuv. If he violates that avera, then he's chayav.
What's the flip side of that?
Oh, the flip side is going to be the parasha Yom HaKippurim. Yom HaKippurim, once a year, annually, is mechayev this par. It doesn't matter whether that he sins or he doesn't sin. That's part of the built into the avodas Yom HaKippurim.
But that's a community. It's a tzibur.
You're right, but I'm not sure.
I'm saying, aren't there different distinctions between tzibur?
Right. I don't know. I'm not sure that distinction is relevant right here. We're talking now about Shvicha Shirayim. So we're saying the following. In the case of Korban X, that's called the Par Kohen Gadol, where the Torah says Beferish explicitly that that the Dam has to go on the Yisod HaMizbeach Shirayim. And that's not a Chovah. That's not an absolute Chovah. That's a Chovah, for example, if you wear a beggar that has four kafis, you have to wear tzitzis, but I don't. Again, on the derisa level, I don't have a chiyuv to put on a beggar that has four kafis. In a certain situation, the chiyuv arises. So that's called a conditional chiyuv. The Gemara says it's not a chova. And yet, in this case, even though par kohen Mashiach, again, relative to par Yom HaKippurim, is a light karbon, why is it light? Because it's not absolute chiyuv. Number two, there's ein nichnas dovel b'fnim. The dam of the par kohen gadol kohen Mashiach doesn't go inside the heichal, and yet the Torah says it needs shvicha shirayim al yisod. How much more so in the case of par shel yom kippurim, which A is a chova and B it has to go inside the heichal. Ein odin shehuton shvicha shirayim al yisod. How much more so? And therefore, Rabbi Yishmael disagrees with Rebbe. He doesn't think that the extra word hapar is coming to teach us the requirement of shvicha shirayim al yisod in the case of par shel yom kippur. That could be derived from par kohen Mashiach with the kal v'chomer.
Rebbe is a Tana?
Rebbe is from Yudan Nos.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Amar Rabbi Akiva. Rabbi Akiva says exactly what Rabbi Shmuel said, that this halacha that par yom kippur requires shvicha shirayim al yisod is derivable from a kal v'chomer, just that Rabbi Akiva thinks he has a better kal v'chomer. In other words, you Rabbi Shmuel, your kal v'chomer is from the fact that there's no dam par kohen Mashiach that goes inside the heichal lechova, but rather lemitzvah. In other words, if this condition came about and he violated this chait, then he has a mitzvah to bring the korban, and then he has to bring the dam bifnim. So the word chova here means that there's no set period of time that generates the mitzvah. That's what he calls the mitzvah. Says Rabbi Akiva, drop that. You don't need to introduce that element. You can derive a Kal V'Chomer here without introducing the element of Ein Kan Chova Ela Mitzvah. Uma Misha Ein Domo Nichnas Lifnai V'Lifnim Bein L'Chova Bein L'Mitzvah. In other words, the case of Par Kohen Mashiach requires Dam Bifnim, but not Bifnim Bifnim, right? There are two levels of Bifnim. What's the lower level of Bifnim?
Outside.
The Heichal. And what's the inside level of Bifnim? You know, the highest spitz?
Kodesh
Kodashim. Oh. Now the Par Yom HaKippurim requires Nichnas Domo Lifnai V'Lifnim, meaning inside the Kodesh Kodashim. That's not true in the case of Par Kohen Moshiach. Although you bring the Dam into the Heichal, but not into the Kodesh Kodashim. So Rabbi Kiva says, forget about this distinction between Chova, Mitzvah, and that whole approach. There's a very simple reason why Par Yom HaKippur is more Chomor than Par Kohen Moshiach. Par Kohen Moshiach does not require Knisas Adam Lifnai V'Lifnim into the Kodesh Kodashim. And yet, even though it's relatively Kal, it pales in comparison to Par Yom HaKippur, which requires Hachnosas Adam Lifnai V'Lifnim, and yet it requires, and I'm going to talk about this case of Par Kohen Mashiach, Shvichas Shiraim Al Yisod, how much more so than in Par Yom HaKippur to require Shvichas Shiraim Al Yisod. So what we have now in this brisa is two different formulations of a Kal V'Chomer. Both Kal V'Chomers come to the same conclusion, namely that we certainly could logically derive and establish that in the case of Parshal Yom HaKippurim we need Shvicha Shirayim Al Yisod. Just the Rabbi Yishmael has one particular formulation of the Kal V'Chomer, and Rabbi Akiva has a different formulation of the Kal V'Chomer. Okay, we're not finished with the Braisa. The Braisa is going to ask a rhetorical question now. And the question is going to be, how do we know that Shvicha Shirayim is Ma'akev? And if you omit it, the carbon is Pasul. Yachol, I might think, Yaakvenu, that we require Shvicha Shirayim in the case of Par Yom HaKippur. Now, let's go back to Rebbe. Rebbe derives this from an extra word, Hapar. And although we could derive that conclusion from a Kal V'Chomer, the Torah went out of its way to formulate, to express that requirement. Is therefore, I might think, Yaakvenu. And basically the rule of thumb here is, you remember we spoke about Shino Lova Kosel Yaakev, that if the Torah says it twice, it means it's critical. Here also, it's as if the Torah said it twice. Because once we would have derived it from logic from Kal V'Chomer. And now the Torah went out of its way, going to Rebbe, to add another word. So now we need some sort of basis in the scriptures to prove that it's not ma'akiv, that the absence of Shvicha Shirayim in the case of Par Yom HaKippurim would not undermine the karbon. Talmud Lomar, this is the pasuk in Parashas Achrei Mos. It says there, V'kila mechaper es ha-kodesh. And what does this mean, V'chila? Chila means to complete something. Right? When you complete something, you use the word Hamalacha Isadai V'kala, and we finished it up.
Vayichulu.
Well, Vayichulu, correct. Hashem finished the world. What does it say in Adon Olam? Kichlos HaKol. What's next? I forget. Azai
Melech.
Anyway, I don't have this. Oh, that's it. So Kichlos HaKol means exactly what you said, Benny. After God completed the creation, then Melech Shmo Nikra. He was a Melech before that, but it wasn't Shmo Nikra. Nobody existed to call him a Melech, to recognize and acknowledge his kingship. So now we have the Chila Mechaper Es HaKodesh. The Torah is coming to say at what point it's Vekila. When is it Vekila? When can you say that the Kohen has already implemented all the avodos that he finished? And the answer is Shomo Kol HaKaparos Kula. In other words, he has to complete all the segments of the kapar. Kol kapar is kulon. Now, Shvicha Shirayim is not in the parasha. And therefore, Divrei Rabbi Shmuel derives from V'chila Mechaper Es HaKodesh that Shvicha Shirayim is out. In other words, even without Shvicha Shirayim, there's already a kiyum, a fulfillment of V'chila Mechaper Es HaKodesh. That the Mechaper is V'chila, the Mechaper is complete. So that all the avodos up to Shvichas Shirayim, but not including Shvichas Shirayim, once they're implemented, that's called V'chila, and that generates and clinches the Kaparas HaKarma. There's another avodah called Shvichas Shirayim. That's not written in the parasha. Who says this? Rabbi Yishmael. Now, I'm wondering about Rebbe. In the case of Rebbe, there is an extra word, hapar, from which I derive par yom kippurim, the requirement of shvichas shirayim al yisod. So I don't know, according to Rebbe, what does it mean v'chila machaper? Unless maybe that pasuk is where? That pasuk, the upar, right? The extra word hapar. Where is it? Yeah, but in what context? In Parakoy Mashiach. So in the parasha in Achrimos of Yom Kippur, it doesn't mention anything about Shvichas Shirayim al Yisod.
But those threshold were if it's Chayev Shvichat Yisod, and now we're asking about Shirayim, right? Rabbi Shmuel made an additional drasha about the same korban, right?
Which additional drasha are you talking about?
After Rabbi's opinion, we said, "I'm Rabbi Shmuel."
Oh, he had a kavachomer to circumvent the need for Rabbi Yehuda Hanasi's drasha, meaning for Rabbi.
So his opinion changed now because he brought up Hasan.
Oh no, he's saying the following. I know what you're asking, but let me answer a simple question, and then we'll get to your more sophisticated question. There are two Rabbi Shmuels here. I mean, two statements of Rabbi Shmuel. The first one is that I don't need the Pasuk HaPar in order to teach Shvichas Shirayim in the case of Parshat Yom HaKippurim. I can derive that from a Kal Vachomer from Par Kohen Mashiach. The second statement is that if you'll raise the possibility in your mind that the absence of Shvichas Shirayim in the case of Par Yom HaKippurim would passel the Karbon, I'm going to reject that Havamina because V'chila Mechaper Es HaKodesh. Now I'm going to get to your question. Your question is more sophisticated. Why does Rabbi Yishmael need the Pasuk, this Drasha, of V'chila Mechaper Es HaKodesh? After all, he holds that the Halacha of Shvichas Shirayim al Yisod is derived from Par Kohen Mashiach with the Kal Vachomer. If it's derived from a Kal Vachomer, then there's no reason why it should be Ma'akev. L'chora, Rabbi Shmuel now is riding a different horse. He's on top of Rebbe's horse, because Rebbe held that not only can you derive this halacha of Par Yom HaKippur from a Kal Vachomer, and to boot, the Torah went out of its way to teach us this with the extra word apar. So the whole Havamina here that Shvichas Shirayim might be Ma'akev because Shina Lava Kosov, that's only according to Rebbe. But Rabbi Shmuel never accepted that possible.
He's speaking a little bit there, Rebbe.
Oh, so I think I'm just going to take a stab at this, and you can take a look at footnote Chaf Aleph. He says, "Umeata kosher l'sheiman nitzach halimud v'yes kol dam hapar." I sense that the question he's asking in the name of the Achronim here is on Rebbe. He's not asking our question. Meaning, this second drasha that we have here from the Pasuk V'chila Mechaper Es HaKodesh really addresses Rebbe Shita. Namely, that if you have both the Kal Vachomer and the Pasuk, the extra word Hapar, that you might have a Havamina that this requirement Shvichas Shirayim is Ma'akev, and for that I need Lafuke. To exclude that, I need V'chila Mechaper Es HaKodesh. And it would almost seem as if, as you said before, Shmuel, that this is like Rabbi Shmuel plugging up the hole or defending the sheet of Rebbe. That's a little bit strange. But
is there something unusual about this drasha because it's learning it out from the fact that it's not mentioned?
I don't see anything unusual because when the Torah goes through the Seder Avot of Yom Kippurim and it adds Vechila Mechaper, it's like if you wrote a book and at the end of your presentation you write finito, you know, to tell you that you've now achieved your goal. What is your goal? Is Mechaper, to generate Kapora. So we gave you X, Y, and Z, and then we said Vechila. Vechila means you were mashlim all of the Kapora. What do I need that for? Because I'm going to derive from a different parasha the requirement of Shvicha Shirayim. And if I didn't have a Chila Mechaper, I might think that Shvicha Shirayim is Likuva. Right? Because I have both the Kal Vachomer and the Pasuk HaPalak. So that's what Rabbi Shmuel says. Now, if this would have been Rebbe speaking, I would have been very happy. But it's Rabbi Shmuel who's speaking. So I'm not sure, according to Rabbi Shmuel, why was there a Havavina? And I think that there's another question we have to ask, and that is, according to Rabbi Shmuel, why do I need the extra word hapar in the parasha of Par Kohen Mashiach? According to Rebbe, I need that extra word hapar for the Kal Vachomer. Now that's also I need the extra word hapar for the drasha that Par Yom HaKippur requires Shvicha Shirayim. Now I have another question. Why does Rebbe need the word hapar? Why not derive it from a Kal Vachomer? Did Rebbe reject both Rabbi Shmuel's presentation of the Kal Vachomer as well as Rabbi Akiva's presentation of the Kal Vachomer? So I think that may be the question here that he's asking in the name of the Tzon Kodshim is Kasha. He says, why did the Torah have to add Hapar as a ribui for Par Yom HaKippurim L'Shvich HaShirayim? We should be able to derive that from a Kal Vachomer. He doesn't tell you if he's addressing Rebbe here or who he's addressing. He may be, I don't know, he may be addressing everybody because the word apar doesn't seem to have any other meaning to it, any justification, other than to teach me that Par Yishal Yom HaKippurim requires Shvicha Shirayim. And now the question is, why do I need apar? Why did the Torah bother telling me that when I could have derived it from a Kal Vachomer? So let's see the end of the Braisa. Maybe it would shed a light on what we've been discussing. The Braisa now adds something about Shvicha Shirayim in the case of Par Kohen Mashiach and discusses whether or not that avoda is critical. We said that there was a Kal Vachomer LePar Kohen Mashiach. Oh. Meaning even Par Kohen Mashiach could be derived from a Kal Vachomer. This is really a curveball, because until now the Braisa assumed that I have to grant you at least one thing, that in Vayikra Dalet the Torah spells out in the context of Par Kohen Mashiach the requirement of Shvicha Shirayim al Yisod. Now the Gemara is questioning even that drasha. Why did the Torah have to bother with that? I could derive Par Kohen Mashiach from Seir Nasi. Seir Nasi is paradigmic of a Chatos Yochid, Me'ata. Now what is this Kal Vachomer? Ma Misha Ein Nichnas Damo Lifnim Lo Lechov Lo Lemitzvah. Now this is in the case of a Chatos Yochid, which again is represented here by Seir Nasi, there's no heichal here. There's no, and you don't bring any of the dam into the heichal. He says here, not only is he not obligated to bring the dam into the heichal, he's enjoined from bringing the dam into the heichal. Okay?
Weren't the korban.
I didn't hear you, sorry.
When would he not be allowed to bring the dam into the...
No, let's say, for example, he shechted the chatas yochid, and now he takes the dam, and a klishos, he brings it to the echo. He violates an isur. I don't know if it passes the dam, but he violates an isur. In any event, just to get through this Kal Vachomer, let's understand that with regard to Sarnasi, which is a chatas yochid, there's no requirement of bringing the dam into the Heichal. Everything goes on the Mizbeach Achitzon. Nevertheless, the Torah says, Ta'un Shvich HaShirayim LiYisod. The Torah spells out in the case of Chatas Yochid that you need Shvich HaShirayim on the Yisod. Is therefore, if you ask me the question about a partial Shel Koin Mashiach, Shenichlas Domo Lifnim, Bein Lechov Bein LeMitzvah, in other words, if he violated a severe avera, the Kohen Gadol is obligated to bring this par, and the par, the dam of the par, goes inside the heichal. Is Eino Dina much more so should totally so? So now we have a number of questions here. Number one, why did Rebbe need a drasha of hapar to establish the requirement to Shvich HaShirayim al Yisod in the case of Parashal Yom HaKippurim? Now we're asking a more fundamental question. Why did Torah have to spell out Shvich HaShirayim in the case of Parakoy Moshiach? I could have derived it from Chatas Yochid, which is represented here by Seir Nasi. So again, I'm just holding out here to go weiter in the Brice, that maybe as we go along we'll have some answers. I don't know. Yeah, Ben?
I'm just restating or revisiting what I said earlier. When the Gemara makes comparisons, let's compare Oaf and Behemoth and the Senate, we're talking about Korban Yachid. But when you bring in Korban Sibor, the Par Yom Kippur, how can you derive things?
Again, as a general rule, I mean, check me out on this, I may be wrong. Korban Sibor is more chomer than a Korban Yachid. Like, for example, when the Gemara wants to prove in comparing two different karbanos that one is greater than the other, or more, it gets precedence, and so on, the Gemara uses the fact that it lends itself not only to a yachid, but even to a tzibur. Like, for example, the Gemara wants to say that shlamim is greater than ola, because ola can never come but tzibur. Meaning, as in the dove at least, again. Again, we're introducing many, many different variables here, but in any event, within the world, the constellation of the Dova, Ola never comes for a Tzibur, but Shlamim does come for Tzibur. Now, exactly how the Tzibur could be committed or can take a neder to bring a Shlamim as a voluntary karbon, the mechanics of it is complicated. I discussed that once at 11:45, based on the Ramban and Chumash, but that's not my point. If we want to establish that in a yachid situation like Nasi, in the case of Chatos or the Chatos of the par of Koy Mashiach, that there's a requirement of Shvich HaShirayim, I would say how much more so in the case of a Korban Sibor like Parashat Yom Kippurim, unless you know otherwise. You know, is there any? Here's your homework assignment. I don't know how you go about filling in this homework. So find me a case where we cannot derive the requirements of a Korban Sibor from a Korban Yochid. Is there such a thing? I would say fakir. It always goes the opposite way. Whatever you have in a Korban Yochid, how much more so you're going to need it in a Korban Sibor? A Korban Sibor intensifies your requirements. That's what I would say. I don't know. But I'm afraid if we belabor this point, I mean, we're going to just go back and forth and hin and a hair. I don't know if we're going to come up with any clarity on this. Are you willing to accept my intuition? My intuition tells me that gam zeh achnis v'kal v'chomer. First of all, the kal v'chomer is the fact that the parashal Yom HaKippur is an absolute chova, unconditional, every Yom Kippur, year in and year out. Secondly, the parashal Yom HaKippur goes into the Kodesh Kadosh. Thirdly, the Parashat Yom HaKippurim is machaper for the entire tzibur. All this, I think, makes it so much more intense than a Parashat Kohen Gadol, which is basically a Chatas Yochid, that I would think if you require Shvich HaShirayim and a Chatas Yochid, how much more so in the case of Parashat Yom HaKippurim? Again, that blows us out of the water because Rebbe used an extra word, hapar, to include Shvich HaShirayim in the case of Parashat Yom HaKippurim. Maybe Rebbe holds like you, that since it's a carbon sieve, maybe we lower the standards. I don't know. So we need a not special pause. I don't think so.
Yeah. But I'm just saying it's different. I mean, we're learning about Shirayim for a...
Yeah, but again, you have to prove to me that difference should generate a certain repercussion, a certain nafkamina la'alocha. We want to know whether the Torah requires Shvich HaShirayim in the case of Parashat Yom HaKippurim. We have so many reasons for a kal v'chomer. Now you're telling me, but it's different. Okay, it's different, but why should that justify the absence of a requirement to shrita shirayim. You can't just say it's different.
So in other words, since it's necessary for korban tzibur, which is more machmir, then certainly it would be necessary for korban yapik.
Correct. Right? Correct. The Gemara doesn't use that logic. But if you ask me to compare a korban yochid and a korban tzibur, I would say that a korban tzibur mitakal v'chomer is that much more chomer. The Gemara again uses a different logic, that the parshal yom kippurim is lifnai v'lifnir, that the parshal yom kippurim is an absolute chovah. You could ask me a kasha burns on. So why didn't the Gemara say the Parsha Yom Kippur is a carbon tzibur? And for sure it requires shvicha shirayim. But the Gemara asks a different question. So you're right. I mean, I have a problem.
I have the impression, this is not a total answer, but maybe you could agree with a partial answer, that when we are saying kava homers here, so it's not just a logical statement, it's somebody's Torah Shebaal Peh describing the Masorah he had of how you're supposed to be able to learn it out of the psukim, what the mitzvah in each case is. So therefore, I want to give it credit. I think we still have a lot of questions remaining, but it could at least be partially arbitrary in the sense that if Rebbe had a pasuk, so he shouldn't say it in a kav v'chomer. And if Rebbe Shmuel had a kav v'chomer, he shouldn't say the pasuk. Even if he likes that. But if the Torah Shebaal Peh he got is that that's the way that mitzvah comes from the Torah, right? Because you're basically saying what's deoraita in each korban and whatever, what's the mitzvah?
Well, Shmuel, again, the rules that we're working with is that if the Torah could have left it out, because I could have derived it from logic, then the Torah went ahead and wrote it, it's called Likuva. It's coming to tell you that it's an absolute requirement. That's called Shino Lama Kosov. So, you know, we're very much, how should I say, bound by those rules. In fact, we're so bound by those rules that Rabbi Shmuel, again, I'm not sure why Rabbi Shmuel, but Rabbi Shmuel went ahead and said, V'chiper, V'kola, what's the pasuk? V'chila, V'chapras HaKodesh was written by the Torah to tell me that Shvichas Shirayim is not Likuva. So you see that the rule is very ironclad rule that if you have a kal v'chomer and then the Torah went ahead and wrote it out, that's Likuva until proven otherwise. And you're going to need a whole nother drasha, Lafuke, this premise that it's Likuva. But now again, let's go back to the latest thing that's on the agenda, because again, there's a lot of things on the agenda, but one, the latest thing, you know, the Achron Chaviv here in this price, is that I could have derived Par Kohen Mashiach from a regular classical Chatas Yachid, which in this particular context is called the Seir Nasi. And if in Seir Nasi the Torah requires Shvichas Shirayim, how much more so in the case of Par Kohen Mashiach? Why? Because where does the Dam of Par Kohen Mashiach go? Into the Heichal. And that puts it on a higher level than a Chatas Yochid. A Chatas Yochid never could go in. He says it's also to bring it in. Whereas the Dam of Par Shal Kohen Gadol goes inside the Heichal. And that Chumrah allows me to derive Shvichas Shirayim with a Kal V'Chomer. So why did the Torah have to give me, spell out Shvichas Shirayim in the case of Par Kohen Mashiach? That's the latest thing on the agenda. Again, there are a lot of other things that are floating around. So let's look again, we're still in this Braisa. It's a long, long Braisa. The Braisa asks the following question, Yochol, I might think that the reason why the Torah is spelled out explicitly the requirement of Shvichas Shirayim in the case of Par Kohen Mashiach is to tell me that's Likuva. In other words, I could have derived this din from a Kal V'Chomer from Chatas Yochid. The Torah went ahead and spelled it out in order to teach me that's Likuva. So Yochol Yakvenu Talmud Lomar. So again, whenever I have a Kal V'Chomer and then a Limud that says Beferish that din that I could have derived from Kal V'Chomer, I need another Limud Lafuki to tell me it's not Likuva. And what is that limud? Again, we're back to Vayikra Dalit. It says, Veskol dam hapar yishpoch el yisod mizbach ha'ola. And here, there's a strange kind of language. Consistently, when the Torah talks about dam, it uses one of two terms. Either v'lokach or v'hiza. No, there are three possibilities, I should say. V'lokach, v'hiza, and v'nasan. Again, it's a separate research project as what are the nuances and differences between these three lashonos. But always consistently when the Torah talks about dam, it uses one of these three terms, v'lokach, v'hizo, v'nosan. And the only exception is right here in the case of Par Kohen Moshiach. What does the Torah say? It says, v'eskol dam ha'par yishpoch. Nothing about v'lokach, nothing about v'hizo, nothing about v'nosan. V'eskol dam ha'par yishpoch. And what is the Torah telling me here? By avoiding all the classical lashonos of Nisinas Adam, Nitko HaKosuv LiEsei. It means the Torah is telling you, not that this is the avoda that I'm about to describe to you, namely Shvich HaShirayim HaLisod, is an avoda in the classical sense. When you hear the word avoda, what concept should automatically pop up in your brain? Almost like, you know, it's like if you put the word Vinasan or Malakach and Avoda, the word that should show up on your computer screen is Likuva. Every Avoda is always Likuva, otherwise it's not an Avoda. Whether it requires a coin or not, I don't know. You know, because Shechita doesn't require a coin, but it's definitely an Avoda. So now, Nitko Akosav LiEsei, what the Torah is saying is, I'm going to go out of my way and avoid upgrading Shvich HaShirayim to the level of an avoda. It's going to just be v'shafach, right? V'shafach, yishpach. And that word yishpach means it's a mitzvah. What does it mean by a mitzvah?
It's
an embellishment. Exactly. It's not an avoda, it's an embellishment. And therefore, so shiore mitzvah lomer lecha sheshirayim eino ma'af. Wow. So the Torah again went out of its way, lafuke, to exclude this halamina that Shvich HaShirayim might be ma'akiv. Wow, it's wild. You know, you read the pasuk, and the pasuk says, you know, dam ha'par yishpach al yisod mizbach ha'olah, and you think the Torah is upgrading and emphasizing. You know, you better make sure you do the Shvich HaShirayim on the yisod of mizbach, and if you don't do it, we're going to beat you to a pulp, and it's going to be puzzle and treyu and everything else. The exact opposite is true. The Torah went out of its way to tell you that this is only Shiari Mitzvah, but it's not a critical part of the Avoda. It's a postscript. It's like, you know, when you write a letter at the end, you write P.S. The letter stands on its own without the P.S. You write an article and you add footnotes on the bottom. The article stands on its own. And the Torah went out of its way to formulate the requirement of Shvich HaShirayim to tell you that Shvich HaShirayim is only a footnote.
This is true of all korbanot?
I would say not so. Why? Although, you know, your question is logically it should be, but why do I think it's not so? Because we had before v'chila mechaper es hakodesh to teach me that Shvich HaShirayim is not ma'akev. So why do I need that? In other words, it seems like we're going through every single one of the korbanos in order to prove that it's not ma'akiv, even with a special drasha. So Shmuel's asking, maybe we should take one korban, and if the Torah says with regard to that particular korban that Shvich HaShirayim is not a requirement, it's only shiori mitzvah, then I should apply that logic straight across the board. But I guess that's not true, and I'll tell you why. Because Par Kohen Moshiach, with all due respect, is not on the same level as Par Shel Yom HaKippurim. I mean, Par Shel Yom HaKippurim, we said, goes Lifnai V'Lifnin in the Kodesh Kadoshim. It's an absolute unconditional chova. It's part of the Kapara. Maybe it's a Karban Tziva, whatever you want to say. So you're going to tell me, well, Shvich HaShirayim is not Likuva in the case of Par Kohen Moshiach. I don't know
it's
if I'm comfortable. I'm not comfortable in assuming that in Par Shel Yom HaKippurim it's not Maki. Maybe here the Torah jacks up the standards and the requirements. So I need the pasuk v'chila mechaper, v'chila mechaper sakodesh. So again, in this brisa, we have some clarity about Rabbi Shmuel, and shiore chatos is a mitzvah, but not ma'akeh. Now we have to go back to square one, Rav Papa. What did Rav Papa say? Kuli Alma, everybody agrees that Shirayim ain't ma'akfin. Oh, so the Gemara says, let's see if this Braisa now supports Rav Papa. V'sava Rav Yishmol mitzui chatas ha'of ma'akev. Oh, so I get the impression that we're at a turning point here, meaning the long Braisa that we've been studying was quoted here as a proof to Rav Papa that no one would require Shvicha Shirayim Li'ikuva, because we have all these different drushos. So Rav Papa is right about that. Yeah, but Rav Papa now has to face the challenge. So what was the machlok between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva? And that was Mitzi Adam Bechata Sa'ov. So the Gemara already asked the question, V'sava Rabbi Shmuel Mitzi Chata Sa'ov Ma'akev. This is the premise of Rav Papa. And that's the sheet of Rabbi Shmuel according to Rabbi Papa, which was attacked and rejected by Rabbi Akiva. Vasanya, Vatana debay Rabbi Shmuel, the same Rabbi Shmuel, in a parsha of Chatas Ha'of, it says, Vehiza midama chatas al kira mizbeach, Vanishar bedam yimotze el yisod ha mizbeach. Says Rabbi Shmuel, what does it mean, Vanishar yimotze? Here we turn to Nunbeis, Omid Beis. V'she'eno nishar lo yimotze. Let's say, for example, he did the Azos Adam in the Chatas Ha'of, and there's no dam left. He did a great job. So the oaf is completely devoid, you know, empty of all its dam. So that's not Ma'akiv the Korban. And that's the way Rabbi Shmuel himself understands the pasuk "Vanishar badam yimotze," as if to say, if there's dam left over, then go ahead and do a shvich on the yisod. But if there's no dam, the carbon is perfectly kosher. Now that seems to be an absolute stira to Rav Papa. Did Rav Papa, was he asleep when Rabbi Shmuel made this drush? I mean, how could Rav Papa maintain that Mitzi Chatasov is Ma'akev when Rabbi Shmuel himself explicitly goes on record deriving from a pasuk that Mitzi Adam is not Ma'akev? Now again, Rabbi Osei, you and I could have said the following: well, if there's no dam left after he does the Mitzi, then Shvicha Sadam Al Yisod is unnecessary. There's no dam left. But if there is dam left, maybe the Torah absolutely requires Shvicha Sadam. But the Gemara doesn't assume so. The Gemara assumes that if the Torah is saying that if there's dam left over, then you do a shvicha, but if there's no dam, then it's okay. Then it means that shvichas shirayim is not ma'akim. So the Gemara says, trein tanoi al libid Rabbi Shmuel, that Rav Papa had the original brice of Rabbi Shmuel, he didn't have this brice of Rabbi Shmuel, because this brice is a different version, a different Tana, who had the tradition of Rabbi Shmuel the way we have it here. So we now have, even within Rabbi Yishmael, a stira between two brises as to what Rabbi Yishmael would say about Mitzui Dam Bechatasov, whether it's critical or not. Now, I'm not sure where we can take a break, but I would like to get back to our article. So I think, just arbitrarily, we'll take a break here. And if you gentlemen could remind me that B'li Neder on Sunday, we don't have anything on schedule, any exceptions to Sunday, do we? That we should pick it up here on Nunbeis Amid Beis, Omar Rami Bar Chama, which is on the top of Nunbeis Amid Beis. And now, for the punchline of today's shiur, we go back to Nefesh Ova. We're on page Tav Nun Zayin. And we're up to Ayin B'chazon Ish. So let me just make sure your finger is on the place. There should be a paragraph on the bottom right that starts Vahashta on Tav Nun Zayin, Vahashta. Mm-hmm. And you're dropping down to exactly where we left off yesterday, five lines down, Ulam Ayin B'chazon Ish. Do you have that? Yes, no, maybe so?
Not quite yet.
Not quite. Okay, so let's start again. Are you on page Tav Nun Zayin?
Yes.
Okay, good. Are you on the right column on the bottom, Vahashta?
Yes. Yes.
Yes. Can you drop down five lines? Ulam ayin b'chazan ish, towards the end of that fifth line. Okay, so keep your eyes on the place, because that's where we left off yesterday. So let's just give a quick summary of yesterday. We have the Shita of Yehuda that the Ritzpah of the Azara was sanctified. That's called Kiddush HaRitzpah for purposes of Zrikas Adam. And now we're stuck with the following. There is no Yisod in the case of Ritzpah. Okay? Despite, again, all the Svaris Ben that you suggested yesterday. And given that premise, Tosus says, I don't understand. The Torah requires Yisod. Forget about Shvicha Shirayim, which might not be anything more than a Tosefus Mitzvah. But let's talk about the Zrika Saddam itself is required Keneged HaYisod, and the Torah expresses that over and over and over again. So what is that whole parasha about if you were Makadish the Ritzvah itself? In other words, let's say you did the Zrikas Adam of any Zevach, Shalom Keneged HaYisod. What's the problem? It's no worse than Zrikas Adam on the Ritzvah. So the Brisker Rav came up with an answer. And he felt that even Rabbi Yehuda, even with Kiddush HaRitzvah, I still need the pasuk of Zrikas Adam Keneged HaYisod, because Rabbi Yehuda would agree that the status of Shvichas Adam al Ritzvah is that of Zrika Shelo B'Mkomo. And even though we pass like Shmuel, that Zrika Shelo B'Mkomo Havi Zrika, that Shmuel and Daf Chavavim Beis, nevertheless, as far as the Basar is concerned, the Basar is possible. Therefore, even Rabbi Yehuda would require that we are Zorik the Dam on that part of the Mizbeach that's Keneged HaYisod. Because then and only then would the Basar be kosher. Tosfos apparently never accepted this premise of the Brisker Rav. And therefore, Tosfos understood that the Ritzvah and its Kiddush is equal to that of the Mizbeach. And if there's no requirement of Yisod, there's no requirement of Yisod. The Pasuk requires Yisod. That's before they were Mekadesh, the Ritzvah. Or in a case where, you remember the whole discussion of yesterday. So we came up with a chiddush here in our discussion, that if we accept the Brisker Rav's premise that Ritzvah is a Zrika Shelo B'Mkomo, we're stuck, we're in trouble with which Karban? Karban Pesach. Why? Because Karban Pesach, the essence of the Karban, is eating the Basar. You're telling me, the Brisker Rav, that with all the respect to Kiddush HaRitzvah, it's still considered a Zrika Shelo B'Mkomo. That's where we were holding yesterday. And this generates a major problem for a sugya on Daf Samach, and it's also in Pesachim, that they appointed a Kohen on Erev Pesach to collect all the dam from the Ritzvah and do another Zrika. Because they were afraid that maybe some of this dam on the Ritzvah was dam that was received in a Klisharis and then it fell onto the Ritzvah. So the Gemara asks, well, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that they're Makadish the Ritzvah, why do they have to point a coin to do such? There's Kiddush Ritzvah. So the Gemara says, well, that was without a Maisa. That was a passive kind of Zrika. And there's no such thing as a Zrika that the Torah recognizes as a Zrika without human activity. So the Gemara still asks, well, let's just pick up the Dam and put it right down. There's no need to do a Zrika on the Mizbeach. That was the Gemara's kasha.
Wait, this is in.
This is on Daf Samach, I believe. So then you go back to the previous page, Tuf Nun Vav. All the way in the bottom, you see on the right side, there's a paragraph that starts Ulechora. Ulechora. Okay, we spent some time on this yesterday. I'm just reviewing it today so I can get to the punchline, the Chazon Ish. And we try to prove from this Gemara that Tosus is right, that the Ritzvah is a zrika b'mkoma, and the Pirkei Rabbah is wrong when he says that Ritzvah is zrika shelo b'mkoma. Why? Because the Gemara itself asked the question, why does the Kohen have to collect the dam and a kli sharis and then throw it onto the mizbeach? Why not just pick it up and pour it down? You need that active human intervention. According to Pirkei Rabbah, if the Kohen would do such a thing, the Kohen would be possible. Why? Because Ritzvah, according to Pirkei Rabbah, is what? Zrika
she'lo
lo b'mkoma, means the boss is possible in case the Kohen pesach, throw out the Kohen. The Kohen pesach without...
What's in it?
So this appella, according to Tosfos, on the other hand, it's beautiful. Because the Gemara is right, just pick it up and put it down again. And Ritzvah has the same power of Kiddush as Zrika b'mkoma. And if it's Zrika b'mkoma, then it's Maksha the boss. And we're all happy campers here. We can eat the carbon pesto. I'm getting hungry just thinking about it.
Even according to the Pirkei Rabbah, wouldn't you still need intentional zrika?
No, again, this Kohen was appointed for the express purpose of collecting the dam and achieving a zrika. The Gemara thinks in order to achieve zrika, he doesn't have to go back to the Mizbeach. Let him just drop it on the Ritzvah, according to Rabbi Yehuda, who holds that they were Mekadesh the Ritzvah for zrika sadam. But according to Pirkei Rabbah, okay, they were Mekadesh the Ritzvah for zrika sadam, but the zrika itself is shelo b'mkoma, it's not going to be matched to the basar. And that's the Pirkei Rabbah's answer to the question why Rabbi Yehuda needs, how does he justify all these psukim that require Keneged HaYisod? Because in the absence of Keneged HaYisod, although albeit the carbon is kosher, but tar zrika shelo b'mkoma, but the basar is not. And that's the Sugyan Chavavim in base, that even according to Shmuel holds that Zrika Shalom Koma Zrika, but nevertheless Shmuel agrees that there's no Hechsher Abasa. So then, according to Pirkei Rabbah, what does Gemara mean by saying, let this coin who's collecting the dam, just pick it up and put it right down on the Ritzvah, and Karm Pesel, that's not going to work. Because you're going to be minus Achilah. If you're minus Achilah and Karm Pesel, the whole enterprise is out of the question. No startup will help us. It's a no start. No, how do you say no starter? Is there such a phrase? We'll invent it.
Non-starter.
It's a non-starter. Excellent. It's a non-starter. And then he quotes Rabbeir Simcha in the Meshech Chochma, and this is exactly what Rabbeir Simcha points out in the Or Sameach. I said Meshech Chochma. It's another work by the same author. And he says that just like in the case of a Karban Pesach, if Nitma Basar, if the Basar becomes Tameh, you have to throw out the Karban. It's possible. So too in the case of Zrika Shelo B'mkoma, the Pesach is possible. And he quotes his son-in-law that's why we end the Brach of Gal Yisrael on Leil Pesach with El Kir HaMizbeach, to tell you that with regard to Karban Pesach, we got to get a specific place on the Mizbeach, because if it's Shelo B'mkoma, then it's no Achilas Basar, and if the whole enterprise is out the window. Which I ask you to remember
for a little,
I think it's almost a year away, but
after eating.
Write it as a footnote in your
account. You have to say a svara that involves that the eating was a mitzvah, otherwise it's very insensitive.
Correct, because if you don't have eating, you see in any other carbon, if the basar becomes tummy, the carbon is kosher. But the only exception is carbon pesach. That's why half of Masechta Pesachim is kosher, because carbon pesach does not fit the bill. You know, you have different types of people in the world. Some people go with the flow. And then you meet a person who's a pumfaket person. He does everything the exact opposite. He'll create a kollel just based on an idea. He doesn't have to follow suit with the rest of the people. That's what I call the Karban Pesach Yid. The Karban Pesach Yid is the Yid who's not bound by any of the rules that apply to society as a whole. Well, that was my drasha for today. But now we get to the Chazon Ish. Do we all have the place? The Chazon Ish wants to suggest Ipcha, that in Karban Pesach, the Zrika Shelo B'mkoma is not only kosher, but it's Matir the Basar. That's what we call Lehepach. Do you see the word Lehepach? Ipcha. You see the word Ipcha in the third line down from where we started? Ipcha. And he says the following, that there's a Gzeres HaKosuv. Okay, for this we have to open up the Gemara in Chavav and Beis, which I'm too lazy to do right now, so you'll do it for me if you can, because I don't remember the Pasuk. But the Gemara derives from a Pasuk, Shmuel derives from a Pasuk, that Zrika Shalobim Koma Havi Zrika. Okay? Oh. So Shmuel says, you know what? We can take that Pasuk and minimize the chiddush. In other words, whenever you have a limud, you can't go too far. Oh, al mizbeach means what? It's like some sort of b'chol makom, no? All right. Anyway, if it doesn't say it, that's what it means, right? So Shmuel invokes. Shmuel invokes the pasuk to define the perimeters of the Mizbeach in such a way that the Ganser, the whole Mizbeach, is one entity. But we have a rule that when the Torah expands a Chiddush, that we have to sort of be conservative about it. We can't go too far. So Shmuel says that's only as far as Kaparas HaKarban is concerned, but not as far as the Basar is concerned. There the Torah requires the Zrika B'mkom. Says the Chazon Ish, We're in a bind here in the case of Korban Pesach, because if the Torah says, and this is a special pasuk according to Shmuel, that the entire Mizbeach is kosher and the Korban is kosher, then that Gzeres HaKosuv would be meaningless in the case of Korban Pesach, unless I assume that what?
That
the Basar is kosher. In other words, it works like this. I have this Gzeres HaKosuv, and it tells me that the whole Mizbeach is kosher for the Korban. Can I go as far as to say that this Zrika Shalobim Koma would be Mashe the Basar? Well, the answer is, I can clip the wings and limit this Gzeres HaKosuv as long as the Gzeres HaKosuv is still meaningful. But I can't limit that Gzeres HaKosuv to such an extent that it becomes suicide and Gzeres HaKosuv becomes a null set. I always have to maintain and recognize the existence and the active limud of that Yalfus. So with regard to all Korbanos on my list, with the exception of Korban Pesach, I can say the following. Okay, the Torah said the Korban is kosher, even in Zrika Shalobim Koma, the Ganser Mizbeach is kosher. But don't go as far as to say that it's a real zrika for the Hetar Basar. But I can't do that in the case of Korban Pesach. Says the Chazon Ish, in the case of Korban Pesach, if I do that, then I've undermined the Gzeres HaKosuv that the entire Mizbeach is kosher for the Korban. In other words, Zrika Shalom Komav, Zrika becomes a meaningless set, a null set, in the case of Korban Pesach. So in order to maintain the active existence of the Pasuk El Mizbeach, I'm going to have to say in the case of Korban Pesach that even the Basar is kosher. And now we have Tzvei Dinim. We have all Korbanos, where Zrika Shalom Koma, even according to Shmuel, the Basar is possible. And then we have Korban Pesach, where since the Torah says the entire Mizbeach is kosher for the Korban, then we have to assume willy-nilly that the Basar is kosher. Because otherwise, it's a null set. You know, you've just blown yourself out of the water. You've self-destructed. Beautiful Sfarah of the Chazon Ish. And the Avi Ezri, who's the Rashi of Panovich, I don't think he was related to the Chazon Ish, but it's, they're like blood brothers. And he's not happy with his Chazon Ish. He completely rejects the Chazon Ish. Where is that? Again, I have to find my place. Wait, I'm on the wrong page here, I think. Wait. Yeah, the reason why I'm on the wrong page is this is for my next year. Sorry. Okay. Right. So he says that the Cheshek Shlomo, who lived way before the Chazon Ish, he wavered back and forth on this point. But the Avi Ezri, that's Rav Shach, the Rashiv of Panovich, which is on the top left of your page, he brings both the Ar Sameach, who says that the Karm Pesach is posel in Zrika Shalom Koma, and the Chazon Ish, who says, not only is Zrika Shalom Koma and Pesach kosher, but even the Basar is kosher, because otherwise the Karman would be posel. And he rejects. And he says the following. The Kosav on the third line should divrei Ar Sameach Mukhrach. Fascinating. He brings both opinions and he says, one opinion has to be accepted. The Ein Lomar, and you cannot maintain like the Chazon Ish would yell and scream, that Bichlal Gzeiros HaKosuv, that pasuk that you read before Shmuel, of what it say, Ham is bad. Just giving the one word of the pasuk anyway. Let's assume there's a pasuk that says Ham is bad. Ham is bad, or Al Ham is bad, right? Just Al Ham is bad. He says, you can't tell me, says Rav Shach, that including the Gzeiros HaKosuv of Al Ham is bad lechaper is Rika Shalom B'Mkoma, and that Gzeiros HaKosuv will now go as far as to be Mati the Basar in the case of a Korban Pesach. And he says the following, Daha de Pesach Posel below Basar Eino Shaykh L'dinei Zrika. Wow. What that line is really profound. He's saying the following. I can accept the Chazon Ish if you're talking about Dine Zrika. If, with regard to Korban Pesach, you had a law, a rule in Zrika that would allow you to upgrade and recognize the Zrika Shalom B'Mkoma. He says, no. The halacha here of basar, meaning achilas basar, and what are the conditions necessary to allow and be mashed achilas basar, that has nothing to do with dinei zrika. He gives an example. Let's say the basar came in contact. One second, is this my invention? One second, let's see if he says it. Oh, he doesn't give the example of where the basar came in contact with the tamei, with tumah. I thought that would be a good example. He gives an example when no members, zero members of the minui, of the chabura, are capable of eating the korban pesach. Not one. You've got tmeim in the group, you've got arelim in the group, you've got a zaken and a chayla, the ganze arel, the whole thing. Anyway, there's not one single person in the group who's capable of eating the korban pesach. What's the deal with that korban pesach? Pasul. Throw it in the rubbish. And if the kohen shechs the korban pesach and he has in mind shelo liochla for the sake of arelim or tmeim, etc., korban is pasul. Says the Chazon Ish, says the Aviezri, the Rav Shach, that if you want to discuss the issue about the status of the basar in Korban Pesach when the Zrika was Shalom B'Mkoma, the status of the basar has nothing to do with Dinei Zrika. So you can't tell me that the Gzeiros HaKosuv that recognizes a Zrika Shalom B'Mkoma is going to be Machshir the Basar in the case of Korban Pesach. The Hechshar Basar all depends upon Achila, not Achila. It's almost, again, I don't want to go this far, but it's almost like a Gavra Cheftza kind of thing. You know, he's saying the following. If you were talking about the Cheftza, the Korban, and you wanted to know if the Korban is kosher or not kosher, and yet you want to add the condition of achilas habasar, so since the Torah went out of its way to tell you that in Zrika Shalom B'Mkoma the korban is kosher, it must include, as the Chazon Ish says, a heter and the basar, hechshar habasar. That would make sense if the issue of the basar was in the korban itself. He calls it the Zrika itself. But that's not the issue here. The issue here is who's going to be able to eat the korban. And if the basar is not edible, halachically, to anyone, then the carbon is possible. You can't tell me that the Gzeiros HaKosuv that recognizes the Hechshar carbon in Zrika Shalom B'Mkoma is going to have any impact on the Achilas HaBosar. In the language of Rav Shach Mehecha Tesi, how can you derive the conclusion to name the Gzeiros HaKosuv Anogas L'dinei Zrika Materis Achilosah? the Ayin Shom Shedocha Raya Sachazunish Me'asugi L'kamon. Ulam Avuar Nimsa the Divrei Agriz the Zrikal Ritzva Havi Shalopim Komo Yesh L'kayim Rak Lefi Divrei Achazunish. This is I think he's saying this with a smile on his face, Rashi. That the only way he could justify the Brisker Rav's presentation, his insight, in light of the Gemara on Daf Samach, is only if you accept the Chazon Ish. Namely, that included in the Gzeiros HaKosuv of Al HaMizbeach, in the case of Zrika Shlovim Koma, is that in Korban Pesach, the boss would be kosher. If you accept that, then we can get away with the sugya in Sochem that says this appointed Kohen would lift up the dam and put it right down, except for the Hebrew mitzvah, so to speak, of getting it onto the Mizbeh. Because otherwise, the Korban is going to be possible. So, in other words, Rav Shach, in the Avia Ezri, accepting, as it were, the Or Sameach, which, if you want to go back to the originals, is rooted in Tosfos, they could not accept the Chazon Ish. The only way they can understand the Gemara in Pesachim is to assume that Ritzvah is a Zrika B'mkoma. If Ritzvah is Zrika Shalo B'mkoma, then we're in trouble. Now, in the next piece, here, Midivrei HaTosfos, he has a Tosfos on Daf Samach Dalet, and he wants to use that Tosfos to prove that Zrika Al HaRitzvah, like the Brisker Rav says, is considered a Zrika Shalo B'mkoma. And not only that, he claims that he has a riot from Tosfos to that effect. So in other words, he's going to end up with a stira in two Tosfos. Our Tosfos, the Yondaf Nun Aleph on the base, right, the small Tosfos, I'm just joking, that Tosfos is against the Brisker Rav and holds that Adarabba, Ritzvah has the status of Zrika B'mkoma. But he has a Tosfos later on Daf Samach Dalet, that holds that Zrika Al HaRitzvah, like the Brisker Rav, is considered Zrika Shelo B'mkoma. Now, I'm just trying to make a quick calculation here. We started a little bit late today, so I don't know. One second. Right. There are no shortcuts here. I mean, we have to open up the sugya on Samach Dalet. This is called the sugya of Olas Ha'of. Olas Ha'of is a complicated business because it requires what's called the Elyon above the Chut HaSikra, right? And oddly enough, the Gemara says that the Olas Ha'of was done in the Keren Dromus Mizrachis. And only if there was Rabbah, and there was a whole flux of people, and the Kohen couldn't get access to the Keren Dromus Mizrachis, then he would move towards the Mairov, towards the west. If anybody has a diagram that could be helpful, because the Dromus Mairovis was close to the Beis HaDeshen, which was on the eastern side of the Mizbeah. So I guess when he moves, if anybody could help me with this, when he moves from the south to the west, he's moving towards the east. That yes, doesn't make any
he
sense.
He has to move clockwise, doesn't he?
Just 1 second. Again, he's in the Keren Dromus Mizrachis, and now he's in the Keren Dromus Ma'arovis, mm-hmm. which is across this way, and that's called Krova LeBeis HaDeshen, because that's on the Mizrach of the Kedesh. No, I don't have it. So Tosfos asks a kasha over there, why does he go all the way to the Keren, which is far from the base, HaDeshen? If he needs the Mizrach, then he should move a little bit towards the west, and he should do the Nesina there. I don't have the logistics here. L'chora yesh la'ayin ma'u chichatos mi Ritzvah. Tosfos is going to quote Ritzvah. She'ain kol adomim te'unim kerem. While korchel shiny ritzba mizbeach, because lo be'inun keneged ha'yisod. Ochinami efshe dafka ritzba lekedin kerem. Mipnei adinim, he wants to say that just like in the case of zrikal ritzba, you don't need kerem yisod. So too, you don't need keren. Let's hear the principle called kol adomim to unim keren. But in the case of ritzba, you don't need keren. Notice the laws change, the rules of the game change when you're using ritzba. Number one, you don't need keneged ha'yisod. Number two, you don't need to unim keren. The nearer the sevili latosis, the din ritzba. I think this was your svara, Ben. Is shovel a din mizbeach? Who be inan af sham? But then he adds two words: meikra din kineged ayisod ve'al gabi akeren. The Tosa seems to require al gabi akeren even in the case of ritzpah, and we'll add the yisod. It's also kineged ayisod. El din inan kineged ayisod miskashva midin zrika shlovim koma kedivrei agris. Now we have an answer to Tosus in our sugi, because Tosus is operating with the premise of the Brisker Rav, and that is that we only need Kenegeti Yisod in order to set up a Zrika Bimkoma, but if it wasn't Kenegeti Yisod, it becomes a Zrika Shalo Bimkoma. So I think we'll have to decide. So I don't know, Rabbo, so you want to leave this up to me, or you want to give me your feedback, your input?
I mean, the options are maybe leaving this till Sunday morning, or maybe
no. For sure, we're leaving until Sunday. I just want to know if you want to continue. You know, I'm always a little bit inhibited about continuing a very long piece that goes on and on. Mm-hmm. And you know, every time you read another paragraph, you have to know another sugya, which is fine. Maybe, you know, we want to try something a little new for the new week. For example, he has in Lamed Aleph a discussion about Nekra HaRitzpa. And we touched on that in the past, so maybe that's a short piece. Then he has a much longer piece in number Lamed Beis, in which he starts a new Tosfos. Dira Maskil.
So could this be a case of tefasta ruba lo tefasta? Maybe we should go with something a little different or new.
Okay. Is it okay though if we do Siman Lamed Beis? Because again, I just want to set up my curriculum, you know, my homework for over the weekend. Because part of the, how do you say in English, tiskul, you know, part of the confusion, what?
Frustration.
Not frustration, but I mean, say part of the challenge is. You know, I'm always it's very hard for me to set up a curriculum for this class, because on the one hand we want to learn Ezum and Komen, I think we're making nice progress, but we want to do Ian, so you have to highlight certain points in the Ian. He's wonderful for that, although there's so many presentations here, so many simonim that are way above my comprehension. But if in theory, you know, we can look at Lamed Beis or Lamed Gimel and see what we could get for it. I mean, look at the size of Lamed Gimel. I mean, that looks like a fascinating Simon Lamed Gimel. I mean, again, it's very long. Wow. Oh my goodness. It's half the book. I didn't realize what I was talking about here. Lamed Gimel is about 8 pages long or more. But again, I always say, let's give it a shot and see where it goes. I mean, the subject matter, the title of Lamed Gimel is a very interesting topic, which we've touched on more than once, whether Shirayim is ma'akiv in the Kapora or it's not ma'akiv in the Kapora. And then whether you need the Gag HaYisod or you don't need the Gag HaYisod. Then he touches on Chatas Ha'of, or the Mitzvah in Chatas Ha'of Zlikuva, the whole Sugira Papa. Again, I have no... Listen, guys, I have no agenda here. I mean, my agenda is your agenda, but you have to give me... You know, it's not fair. I mean, I've asked on so many occasions, do you want this, do you want that? And I get like a, it's like the gear of his back. I get no response whatsoever, like talking to the wall. But again, if you want to say to me, Rabbi Berzon, just plow on and just, you know, by trial and error, just hopefully we'll get it right. I mean, we're doing that Nun Beis here. Look at this. On Nun Beis, Amid Aleph, Amid Beis, he's got so many pages. So one block Gemara in Ezu Makoma. He doesn't get to Nun Gimel until Tuf Ayin Vav. So again, we can fast forward to, you know, to Daf Nun Gimel. And we can start there.
I mean, I'm thinking Shirayim is a fascinating topic, because it also applies to other things. The mitzvah of Likud, but there could be some principles there that could be applied to other similar scenarios. So, you know, we also want what the Rav wants. This is your idea in the first place, to have coaching and zachim. Like, what's going to be the best for your preparation, for your...
I can't answer that question, because in my original plan, I wanted to do fast pace. Because I need time, you know, during the day to do fast pace, because I have a number of shiurim that I teach, and I'm not going to tell you the numbers, but it's not lav milsa zutrasi. So I thought I could kill two birds with one stone and integrate into this year a more fast-paced learning. But then I saw that that wasn't necessarily the most popular way to go. So I took it upon myself, listen to this, to do an Ian shiur here at 9:30 on one sugya, not to repeat myself at 12 or 11:45 with another. So I'm doing two different sugyas in Karchim and Zvachim Be'ir. I mean, that alone could drive me crazy. To boot, I'm doing the daf on my own, fast-paced. That could give you stomach aches for hours and hours every day on a daily basis. And it's interesting, because sometimes I get to a sugya, wow, I know what's going on here. Like this, you know, I'm doing a sugya now about Todu Shenu, Todu Todu Kodim, which comes first, the Korban Talmud, the Korban Musaf. Musaf is Makudash Tvei, but the Talmud Shalbein, the Shnei Tvidim is Todu Tvei, which comes, which, you know, and I'm like oriented. And I'm also learning a sugya in Daf Yomi called Kedima. You know, the Kohen gets overwhelmed by two different carbonos, which, that's like a lot of fun. But then I'll go through like a dry spell of about five block where it's like way above my comprehension, where I need an hour or two on every line in the Gemara. And there are 50 lines on one side of the page, and you think, oh, I finally finished that. And then you turn to the other side, and you realize that you didn't. So it's been a bumpy ride, you know, but I'm still hanging in there, because now at this time I happen to be really up on it. You know, I got to some really juicy sugyas. There was a whole parak Tarovas that was very challenging, and then the earlier prakim with, you know, the Mizbeach and you know, the different chronos, and gosh, I was like just barely hanging on, you know. So I'm doing a lot, and that's besides three chumash shiurim. I try not to repeat myself weekly, and three shiurim on Shabbos, and a Gemara Pesachim shiur, which I give once. And so now I took on Peleoids. It's a whole new world. Have you ever looked at Peleoids?
I've seen quotes from it.
It's a Musa Sefer that was written about two centuries ago, two and a half centuries ago, by a Sephardi. And it's a fascinating book. It just, the whole style of the book is so radically different than all the classical Musa Sefardi. So yesterday I gave a shiur on Peleoids on the topic of Emes. You know, what is Emes? And it's a whole different style. You know, I find it difficult to learn the classical Musa Sefardi, right? It just doesn't speak to me. You know, there are people who live from the Ramchal. You know, I get uncomfortable. You know, the Precious and the Chassidus and the Zahirus and this, that, the other. But the Peleoids is, and he integrates so many Chazal, and it's like beautiful, and his language is so poetic. It's wonderful. But, you know, that adds another element into my weekly equation. But then again, after Tisha B'Av, we're taking a break. So, you know, I don't want you to miss, you know, to be misled that between now and Tisha B'Av, which is what, about 2 weeks, you know, we're going to finish all the Kutch. So one of the decisions we have to make is what are we doing in El, you know, and I
I got to the point where I feel we scratched the surface on Kachem. Why drop it? The Mashiach didn't come yet. We still have to do some work. You know.
It's up to us.
It's up to you guys. You have to tell them.
I think I'm
Look, I'll tell you the honest truth.
I meant the Mashiach coming.
Oh, I see.